Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Well, good day to you all, wherever you are, and whatever day of the week this may be. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. This is the No BS Bishop. I am alive to love. I'm challenging you to join me in this goal of being a No BS person and be alive to love. If we're alive to love, we get rid of all the BS in life, and we live for truth. We live for honesty. We live for authenticity. I'm so honored that you chose to spend the next 25-30 minutes with me, and I'll get right to it today because I want to spend your time and mine in a pursuit of honest, authentic, genuine, passionate love. Some of you out there are old enough to remember a character by the name of Mae West. She was an actress of another generation, and if you're of that generation, you may be scratching your head saying, "What is he quoting Mae West?" Yes, I'm going to quote Mae West. One of the things she used to say that I love, love, love is this. She said, "Too much of a good thing is wonderful." I want to say that again because it just tastes like a good juicy apple in my mouth. Too much of a good thing is wonderful. Of course, the adage or the cliche is too much of a good thing can be bad for you. And maybe that's true of s'mores. Maybe that's true of too much chocolate or too much ice cream. But too much of a good thing like love is wonderful. There are people who will tell you can't just love people. Why, you have to have other things that you do with people. Well, God isn't just love. God is also righteous. God is holy. And I'm here as a one voice, one man army to tell you, look, if it's genuine love, then there's no such thing as too much of a good thing. Too much of a good thing is wonderful. Love that is love cannot be too much. Love that is love cannot be too much. Love that is love can never be abused. Listen to that carefully. Love that is, capital IS, is love cannot be abused. Love that is love can never be too loving. Love that is love cannot be too much. Genuine, authentic, real, purpose-filled love will always be the answer to every question in life. And if we're not careful, and I would suggest we have not been careful, if we're not careful, we'll reach for BS instead of love. So I want to go after this for the next 20 minutes and talk to you about the results of living a life for love. The subtitle, the subheading of this broadcast is, I'm alive to love. I'm alive to love. All other purposes do not match the weightiness of what my heart and my mind and my soul are reaching for. All other purposes are going to have to fall in line with the highest purpose of my life, and that is to love. Love is that one quality that brings value to others, but it most especially brings value back to me. What you give is what you get. When you pour it out, it will be poured out back to you. When you cast your bread upon the waters, they will come back to you. Love is enough. It encompasses a genius strategy for living with people all around you. To love the unlovable is to live in the majesty of God. If you're rejected or cursed all the time during that curse or rejection you're loving, well, then you're going to discover a furious beauty. Because if you spit on love or you throw love to the ground, love will always, real love will always be strong enough to get up and live on, yet wise enough to live large where it's been welcomed. So let me go after the results of when we live for love. When you live for love, there will be results that will come of it. I promise you, those results are worth the price that you pay to love. I should inject quickly here before I give you this list. Love will cost you something. In fact, love may cost you everything. Love may have you feeling like you've spent your last emotional dime. But love will always be the right choice. It will always take you to a better place in life. Love will always lift you up. There's an old song, Love Lifted Me. And I want you to know, I want you to hear me say it. Love will always end up lifting you. Love is the only credible strategy for life. It encompasses a genius for living with people. Because when there's a, what I think the latest count on the population of the planet is somewhere over 7 billion. That's a lot of people. And in that crowd of 7 billion, there's a few challenging folks, if I can say it nicely. But if we start making sure that we only love the people that are going to love us back, we're going to be in trouble, because there's a whole lot of people that will not love you back. You have to choose to love above all other purposes and make sure that before you do anything, you are ready to pay that price, because it will cost you everything. And love is the only thing worth everything. So let me talk to you about the list. When we live for love, first of all, we will become contagious. When we live for love, we become contagious, which is to say that what we are will be caught by others. Somebody, an old preacher, used to say that we are better, things that give, that are valuable to give in terms of wisdom, are better caught than taught. It's better caught than taught. When we live for love, we will become contagious. There will be a sense that what you are living out in that love, it's going to get on other people. So when you see people that are not loving, when you find people that are unloving in their behavior, well, why don't you just turn up the dial of your own love and see if they catch what you got? It will become contagious. If you're contagious, then you'll be a person that folks will want to be around, it rather than being in the elevator when somebody coughs or sneezes and we can't wait till that door opens to get out of that elevator. Man, I've been there. You have too. But listen, when we love, nobody wants to leave. They want to hang out with you. If you're lonely, I would propose that you would turn up the dial on your priority for love. And trust me when I say, I know what loneliness is. I'm a bit lonely these days myself. I get it. But loneliness can come and go. But also, you should remember, loneliness can be a signal to you. Loneliness can be an indicator, kind of like a sniffly nose that maybe a cold's coming on. Loneliness may indicate that you need to become contagious with love so that folks are wanting to be around you, as opposed to dodging out that elevator door as soon as we arrive at the floor we wanted to get to. When we live for love, we become contagious. Secondly, when we live for love, we'll eliminate the us versus them mindset. The mindset that says there's a group of us and there's a whole group of them. When we get rid of that, we recognize through love that there is no us and versus them. There is no categories of we're the good people, they're the bad people. It's just us. When you live for love, it's us. We're a people. All of us are people. People everywhere. We're 7 billion of us on the planet, and there's no such thing as us versus them when you live for love. If you're not living for love, well, there's a whole lot of enemies. There's a whole lot of people out there that are just wrong, bad, evil, sick, and wrong. Can't wait to prove it to the wide world. You're seeking to expose how bad they are. Problem with that kind of lifestyle is it's negative, it's draining, and it'll deplete your emotions in a hurry. There'll be no such thing as us versus them when you live for love. So that's number two. Number one was we become contagious. Number two, there's no us versus them. Thirdly of all, I'll get it. Don't rush me. I'm getting there. Third of all, when we live for love, we're ready for action. We're not waiting for some signal that it's time to do something. We know right now is the time to do something. There's no better time than now when it comes to living for love. Love doesn't say, well, later. It doesn't say, I'll get around to it. When I live for love, it is the highest value and priority. It's the attraction of drawing me forward. I cut out the BS of my life. You know, on that note, Do you know that there's nobody you BS more than you BS yourself? Did you know that there's nobody on the planet that you're trying to BS and trying to convince of something that's really not true, that it is true? You're doing that to yourself. But when you live for love, love cuts the BS. Love cuts through the fog. Love cuts through the internal lies that you'll tell yourself to get off the hook. Love makes us ready for action. So number one is, when we live for love, we become contagious. Number two, we eliminate us versus them thinking. Number three, if we live for love, we're ready for action. Mother Teresa said something once that really hangs in my mind daily, and that is this: we cannot do great things. We can only do small things with great love. We cannot do great things. You know, I sometimes we freeze up waiting for the next biggest thing to do. Sometimes we get trapped in the idea that I've got to come up with this big idea, this big invention, this newest thing that's going to capture the whole wide world. That may happen. You may be blessed to do that. And if you are, God bless you. Go for it. Run with it. But in day-to-day, mundane living, doing the little stuff that you do constantly, we're all doing little things every day, we need to remember we cannot do great things all the time, but we can do small things with great love. Here's an example. My wife and I have a daily pattern. It's not perfect. We don't always get to it the way we want to, but it is as much a priority as we know how to make it, and that is, she loves to load the dishwasher. That's her deal. She likes to solve the puzzle. And the more the sink is piled high, the more she wants to fill it. She wants to fill the dishwasher. And if she catches me doing it, she says, "Stop, that's my job. Let me do that." And she doesn't mean, like, "Don't do it. I don't like you doing it." She means, "I love doing it." So she loads the dishwasher. And then I unload the dishwasher, which is my pleasure. And that's a small thing. It is a small thing. And I'll have to confess, I haven't always done that. I think it was on our 40th anniversary. We've been married 45 years and some months. We were at a cabin, and we decided to do the dishes together. I don't think there was a dishwasher at this cabin. And when we did it together, she said to me, "I love how you work side by side with me doing the dishes." Well, that triggered in both of us a priority. And that was this, that I would do that one small thing with great love, and that is to help her with the dishes and at home with the dishwasher. Then I am happy to unload that dishwasher, and to every plate, every coffee cup, every spoon and knife and fork, every utensil that I take out of the dishwasher, I remind myself I'm doing this with great love for my dear, dear loving wife. We can only do small things with great love. So remember that. Remember that. Be ready for action. So number one, we become contagious. Number two, we get rid of the us versus them mentality when we live for love. And when we live for love, we're ready for action. And number four, when we live for love, we are reaching for relationships. We are learning to reach for relationships. I want to spend a little extra time on this because obviously, love has a lot to do with how we maintain relationships. When you love, you're going to find that your love will not always be accepted. It won't always be welcomed, and your love will not always be readily, easily well defined. People will define your love by the means by which they have learned love. Some folks have had a busted definition of love their whole life. So when you're loving, they tend to redefine it in their own broken venue. Don't despair for that. Keep reaching for relationships. Never stop reaching for a relationship. Now, hear this. I know that there are some people with whom I'm going to have to reach for a relationship with them carefully, because that person is a deeply wounded person, perhaps, maybe even dangerous. They may have some brokenness in them that really does make them abusive, really does make them potentially harmful, really does make them something of a hazard to my life and likely many other lives. But it does not need to change that I am here to live for love. I cannot say of any one person when I'm living for love, I cannot BS myself and others by saying, well, they're just too dangerous to love. No, ma'am. No, sir. Everybody must be the priority for me to love. I will, however, learn to love them with wisdom. I will love them in a way that is suitable to whatever dysfunction they may be trapped in, while all the time I'm recognizing I am alive to love that person. One time not long ago, I was listening to a group of people talk about their community. How do I say this gently? Their own little tribe had decided that this one person is their greatest enemy, and there's something wrong with that one person. We can't afford to love them on some level. But a wise person spoke up in that crowd and said, wait, wait, wait. This person that we're talking about that we don't dare love, that person is probably the result of having not been able to live in the atmosphere of love long enough to know what it is to be loved. And so this person is an unloved human being, which is making them seem completely unlovable. So when we redefine just like that, if you can see somebody that is unlovable, that's okay to acknowledge they are unlovable, but it doesn't mean we need to adjust our priority to be alive to love. It means that we will love them wisely. We will love them genuinely. Perhaps we will have to draw some clear boundaries to sustain some safety, to sustain some wisdom and counsel about that. But we will always, 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 wait a minute, let me change that. Always. We will always love. Love will be the goal. Love will be the priority. And we will find in our determination to be alive for love that we will always reach for relationships. I was telling my wife just this morning before I came down to record this broadcast that I believe that love is that which finds our tribe. It is that which, when we have our love alive, when we are alive to love, we'll find our tribe, because that love is the means by which we drop the drawbridge of our castle. We open the door and the windows of our home and we say, come to me, love, as I send love out. Love is going to be the thing that will reach you into relationships. You will not only reach for relationships, but you will be reaching into relationships that sustain and will come to you. You'll find yourself, as I said, the first result of being alive to love is that we become contagious. You'll become contagious to folks of like heart, like vision, like purpose, like goals. Those folks will become, as you see them coming toward you, they're your tribe. That's your group. Those are your homies. I'm sorry, I'm 66 and I said something that will probably come back with maybe my granddaughter will say, oh, Papa, don't do that. All right, I won't say homie anymore. But we'll find the people that are destined to be our people. Now, that doesn't mean other people can't be. It just means that for what I'm doing at any given season of my life, what I'm doing on any given project, any given idea or a vision or goals, those are the people that I am in need of to come my way. Now, I just said something there that triggers my last closing thought here. The people that I'm in need of, we all are needing people. We're needing people to assist us in projects. We're needing people to be volunteers in the same community action program we may be involved with. We may need people to help us dog sit, house sit, babysit. We may need people to loan us a favor. We all are going to run into the need for people. And when we are alive for love, we're more likely to find those people than otherwise. But in being alive to love as the priority, we won't just draw people that we need in our time of need alone. I hope you caught that. We won't just attract people we need in our time of need alone. There's nothing more unsatisfying in a relationship than to be needed only when you're needed. Did you think that through? When you know that somebody needs you when they need you, well, then that's not love. That's convenience. That's utilitarian. Western culture has a hazard of living a utilitarian kind of view. How can I use you? I have been a pastor for most of my life, for the better part of 50 years, and I caught myself years ago saying, and over time as well, when I catch myself thinking like, ooh, that's a gifted person, ooh, that's a talented person, we could really use them in our church. That's a dangerous way of thinking. That's utilitarian. That is ceasing to see people as people. Don't let yourself linger in that kind of thinking. I just said a minute ago, I've done it. I've been guilty of it, but it's not healthy. When you have need of people only when you need them, that's a signal. That's where you've got to change your priority. Your inventory of life is to be alive to love, so that when you do need people, they will be drawn to you, as opposed to you having to go beat on doors to go find people you need. And then when you find them, they're going to say inside, they may not say to you outside, but on the inside, they're saying, yeah, you need me because you need me. Rather than, well, you know what? It's so great to be needed by you because I know you love me. That's a huge difference. Subtle change in how you define that. But I'm telling you, that is significant. That to be needed in the process of love is the best and most rewarding way to find people that that you do need in your time of need. So when I started this today, I said that Mae West, a movie actress, Hollywood actress from a whole nother generation. And if you remember Mae West, then you're as old as me, you're older. But if you don't know Mae West, then Google her name and you'll find this. she was a bit of a floozy, but she was wise and she was coy, and she had her own homespun kind of way of living. Mae West said, "Too much of a good thing is wonderful." When I think of love, real love, love that is love, cannot be too much. Love that is love can never be abused. Oh, yes, that's true. I mean, there will be attempts, but if it is love, it can't be abused. If it's genuine love, love that is love can never be too loving. Because when I am living love, I'm living the encompassing genius strategy to live with people. To love the unlovable is to live in the majesty of God. To find myself rejected, cursed, or spit upon all the while I maintain love is to give me a furious internal view of life that is beautiful. You throw me to the ground if I'm loving. You kick me, punch me, spit on me. Love that is love will be strong enough to live on, rather than throw in the towel and feel sorry for itself. Love that is love will be wise enough to live large, though, where it is welcomed. So today, here's the four results of being alive to love that I've talked to you about. When we live for love, we become contagious. We are drawing people in a contagion that is beautiful. When we live for love, we are eliminating the us versus them mentality that is a plague. It's a plague in America right now. We have drawn dark, hateful lines against each other. It's us versus them. But love will eliminate the us versus them mentality. Number three, when we live for love, we're ready for action. Every day is an adventure. Every day suggests I have purposes that can only be fulfilled in love. If it's a smallest little detail, if I'm just pushing a grocery cart back into the store because it's out there lonely in the parking lot, if I do it in love, then it's a piece of fulfillment for me in that day. If we live for love, we're contagious. If we live for love, we eliminate the us versus them mentality. If we live for love, we're ready for action. And last and certainly never least, when we live for love, if I'm alive to love, I'm reaching for relationships always and ever There's nothing in any relationship that cannot be addressed apart from love. I'll get it out. I had it stuck in there behind my eye teeth and couldn't see what I wanted to say. Then I will reach for relationships. I will cease to be satisfied with just being a judgmental person looking at other people as though they deserve whatever it is they got. We are alive to love, ladies and gentlemen. Anything less than love is potential BS. I have been confronted in, I hope, loving ways that, well, this whole idea of you being a no BS bishop, I'm not sure I like that. I understand that. I understand how you might be a bit put off by that. I do not seek to offend. However, if offended you must be, I'm your man. I am not trying to offend you, but perhaps in the offense, I'm pressing you to learn something about yourself. In the wide world we live in, people are more and more aware of how they're getting BS'd, how they're being used by our agendas, how they're being called into something without being told what the fine print is. It's like all the prescription commercials you watch. You can take this and it'll make your life wonderful. However, it might kill you. You know, the BS comes in the fast print, the fast small print. People in our culture today are allergic to the BS because there is so much BS going on in our wide world. And unfortunately, that BS has crept into our places and our purposes of faith. Well, I'm one person. I'm a one-man army to eliminate the BS. It's time to be alive to love and cut the BS. Be people that have one goal, one life, one purpose in life, to say, I'm alive to love. Mae West said it well. I'm saying it again. Too much of a good thing is wonderful. Too much of love. Oh, my. What would our world be if we lived too much love? Randy Dean here, No BS Bishop. Thank you for the honor and the pleasure of your time. Get out there and be alive to love.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.